Coming up, Hurricane Katrina closed the famed Charity Hospital in New Orleans, and we're going to check on the efforts to reopen it or rebuild it just a few minutes from now. And I bet there's a lot of people in New Orleans unhappy that they don't have health care, but do you have health care? And if you do, are you happy with it? Because surveys show most of you are. So we're asking, what's so great about your health care? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email at mytake@thetakeaway.org. But first, let's check in on today's top news stories. Wildfires 20 miles north of Los Angeles in California have burned through at least 100,000 acres of land. Firefighters are struggling to control that blaze. It's been fueled by dried brush and a lengthy drought. Nearly one-third of all cocaine seized in the United States is laced with a dangerous veterinary medicine. That's according to documents from the Drug Enforcement Agency. The medication, which is used to deworm livestock, is believed to have killed at least three people in the U.S. and Canada and has sickened more than 100 others.
Some of the 13 astronauts now at the International Space Station will begin unloading equipment and science experiments this afternoon. One of the first team items to be unloaded will be a treadmill. At around the same time, two crew members will make the first spacewalk of the mission. Those killed aboard United Airlines Flight 93 on September 11th will be remembered in a memorial plan for the Pennsylvania crash site. The federal government will pay about $9.5 million to acquire land so that the Flight 93 National Memorial can be built by the 10th anniversary of the attacks. Those are some of the top stories we're watching today.
So all this week, we're taking a look at the lasting effects of Hurricane Katrina and what it had done to New Orleans through the flooding. The storm definitely dealt a devastating blow to Charity Hospital there. The hospital had served many of the city's poor and uninsured residents for about 250 years before it was forced to close. 4 years after Katrina, Charity Hospital is still not open. And a grassroots campaign to reopen the hospital has enlisted one of the Crescent City's most famous doctors, Bluesman Dr. John.
Hey, listen, everything in my life is connected to Charity Hospital. I was a Charity Hospital baby, but all of us have a deep love for what Charity Hospital stood for, the community. If we can get Charity Hospital open faster and cheaper, how come we're not doing that? Call Governor Jenner and tell him to reopen Charity Hospital.
If they can get Charity Hospital open fast and cheap, why aren't they doing it? That's a good question. And to answer it, we have Karen DeSalvo. She's the Vice Dean of Community Affairs and Health Policy at Tulane School of Medicine. Also to talk with us about alternatives in New Orleans is Clinical Director Patricia Berryhill. She helped start the Lower Ninth Ward Health Clinic, and she used to work at Charity Hospital. Patricia, let me start with you. There is this campaign going to reopen Charity Hospital, but there's the competing bid from the university to build a massive mega medical complex that will cost billions of dollars in the middle of New Orleans. Why is there a controversy? Why aren't they getting something moving, either one plan or the other?
Well, I think there's a lot of politics involved in that. And right now, we need something that's really going to open really fast. Especially for our uninsured patients that we frequently served at the Lower Ninth Ward Health Clinic. I mean, they don't have the option like our insured clients to go to different hospitals to seek the care that they needed. Also, they don't have the resources to choose their own doctors. So we're really in a crisis down here with the closure of Charity Hospital.
So I assume that's why you started this Lower Ninth Ward Health Clinic. When did you start that, and what kind of volumes of patients are you seeing there?
Well, we were allowed to officially open in February of 2007. We attempted to open in 2006, about 6 months after Katrina, but we had a arrival of a surprise city health inspector. And being both nurses, Alice and myself, we weren't aware of some of the coding that was involved in starting, you know, in converting my home from a residential area to a commercial area. So really that made a stumbling block in us opening it. So it took all about 10 minutes for me to sign the papers allowing my home to be converted from a residential to a commercial you know, a facility. But, you know, not being involved in that, Alice and I both didn't know that. So through the help of an attorney that volunteered his services, you know, we were made aware of certain city codes that we had to adhere to.
So, Karen DeSalvo, you are with the Tulane School of Medicine. How important was Charity Hospital to the New Orleans community?
Well, Charity Hospital, as you said, had been around for a couple of hundred years, and most doctors like myself had trained and worked there for generations. And as a hospital, it was important not just for training, but as a source of care for trauma care and other specialty care for patients. You know, what's important to remember, though, is that, as Patricia describes, there's been a lot of new healthcare opportunities that have come up in the city since Katrina in the vacuum that was left when Charity closed.
Well, Karen, let's talk about that for a moment. Yesterday we had a principal who was starting a charter school in the Ninth Ward say that one of the benefits of the storm was that it eradicated a horrible school system to be replaced by something innovative and new. Do you think there are similar opportunities in the healthcare sector in New Orleans? And is Charity Hospital, for all of its importance, maybe something better put in the past? Karen?
Well, I mean, Charity is always going to be needed in some fashion because of its training. And we know that since the big Charity building closed that everybody thinks about, there's been a new facility that opened. But there's been now 25 organizations that have opened clinics across the city that are very innovative, just like the one Patricia's done. Tulane has a number of sites. And they're taking care of 160,000 low-income people in a very new neighborhood-based way.
And yet, Karen, we've had some pretty good studies from the Kaiser Family Foundation that have shown that the health situations of people, especially minorities, especially African Americans, especially the poor, have degraded seriously since Hurricane Katrina. So how are we going to address these health issues without,
you know,
Charity Hospital?
I think it's important always for people who are quite ill to have access to specialty care, hospital care, but the neighborhood-based clinics that are serving this large population of 160,000 folks. We're new. We've only been around for, you know, 4 years. It's marked by high quality. There's a lot of them that have reached national recognition as patient-centered medical homes. And one thing that's got to be remembered epidemiologically is that a lot of these citizens of New Orleans had only access to emergency room care before the storm. Even though it was really good care at Charity, it was emergency room care.
Huh, that's interesting.
And so now we're discovering a lot of new diabetes and hypertension. So the numbers look worse for a little while until we can actually get it under control.
Patricia Berryhill, what lessons would you teach the rest of us in the United States about health care from your neighborhood-based perspective there in the Ninth Ward?
Well, from our neighborhood perspective, it is healthcare, community-based, is a very important part. Just like Dr. DeSalvo described, it stops a lot of unnecessary emergency room visits, the long waits. We also have a family atmosphere. You know, we, with the Lower Ninth Ward Health Clinic, Alice grew up in that area. I was a resident of the Lower Ninth Ward for 28 years. My kids grew up in that neighborhood. So the people of the community recognize us, they trust us, and we strive to give quality health care at that clinic. And, you know, we have discovered a lot of untreated diabetes, hypertension, you know, diseases that people just couldn't afford to go to a private physician, or like Dr. DeSalvo described, would really try to go to the emergency room, you know, for ailments that certainly could have been treated in a community-based clinic. So
yeah,
it's very important.
I'm sorry, Patricia. I just think that this is such an important part of the story, is that the opportunity in New Orleans with the destruction of our healthcare system, even the important elements, the opportunity we all took was to say, how can we create a system that's more accessible, higher quality, more patient-centered, and really more of the flavor of the neighborhoods of our city, and create a distributed network around town where people can have a door to go in that's friendlier, closer, knows them, and can can identify disease before it gets too far along.
Well, if you find out, you might want to tell the president. That's Karen DeSalvo. She's the Vice Dean of Community Affairs and Health Policy at Tulane School of Medicine. And Patricia Berryhill, Clinical Director at the Lower Ninth Ward Health Clinic in New Orleans.
Learning healthcare lessons from Katrina down there in New Orleans. Well, for those of you who do have health coverage, we've been asking you all morning, what do you like about it? Surveys show most of you are happy with your coverage, but what's great about yours? Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. And if you're looking for a little bit of cash, here's your takeaway.
You want to know where the money is? It's in comic book characters. That's the global economy now, is comic book characters.
According to Mary Beth Williams, our friend and Salon.com's commentator, Disney bought Marvel. I'm John Huckenberry.
I'm Celeste Headlee.
This is The Takeaway.